Happy Wednesday, my friends, and welcome into a Cooler Talk presented by Arctic. My name's Drew Doherty with my good pal John Harris. Good to see you as always.
Yeah,
and we are here to answer your questions about the Houston Texans. There's a lot to get into. There's a lot to discuss because OTA's almost over, John.
Almost.
And then a mini camp comes up next week, and then after that, it's the great unknown. Really, it's known. It's just a vacation until the training camp starts, but the players will be gone from the building for a good 5 weeks. So let's get right into it. This week, we were out at OTAs. We saw some things. We've been impressed with some things.
Yep.
What stood out to you? Give me two main things that have that have stood out to you the most.
Ooh.
3 weeks in, seeing these guys on the field, practicing, and getting to work.
I'll tell you one that I don't know that we talked a lot about. I know he's been talking point for a lot of people in sports radio. That's Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Kevin has looked sharp. I think he's looked quick. I think he's looked fast. I think he's played, I should say he looked that way. He's played that way. And I think that ends up being really good news if he can do that. The second one, I'll stay with the secondary because Aaron Colvin, I think in watching him up close, he's done a lot of covering inside. Man, these inside guys have a very difficult time getting away from him.
Mm-hmm.
He is excellent. He said it. He sat right there in that chair, right there, right in front of that where it says HoustonTexans.com. He sat right there and he's like, I believe I am the best inside cover corner in this league. And when you watch him cover inside, you absolutely get it.
And you know, he's also said, that's not just what I am.
Right,
I can
right.
do the outside. I can cover the outside as well.
No question.
We'll see. I mean, he's probably like the rest of this defense going to be moved around in different spots because that's what Romeo Crennel likes to do. But as far as your Kevin Johnson thing, you and I have talked about this all offseason long. We think the arrow is up for Kevin. We think he's going to bounce back and have a really good year. But, John, we got questions from fans. Let's get to it. Frank the Tank wants to know, our practice is done now until training camp. No, Frank, you still got a couple more days of OTAs today and tomorrow. And then, like we mentioned, 3 days of mini camp. That's mandatory. This has all been voluntary, but pretty much everyone's been here. Next week is mandatory, and then, like we said, 5 weeks until training camp.
Yeah, and they get that big break. The players need it. They come in from early April, early to mid-April until now, and they really that's essentially their spring practice. You hear a lot of colleges, spring practice. They have practice. Now they can put pads on in college. They can't do that here, but it's a good opportunity for teaching, learning, seeing what these young guys can bring in. And not just young guys. We've talked about this a bunch. When we go to the Greenbrier, that roster is going to look completely different. Only 44 players that went to the Greenbrier on the very first day last year are going to the Greenbrier, as we know right now.
That's what I was going to say. That's as of right now.
Right now.
Things can change.
Yes,
you know, you might see a few different faces here, you know, plus or minus, with regards to all that. Charles has the million-dollar question, which a lot of people have asked, justifiably so.
Mm-hmm.
How is Deshaun Watson looking? The quarterback, in my opinion, has looked great because, A, he's just been out there.
Yeah.
He's been throwing the ball. Now, he has not taken part in team drills. That means he's throwing in 7-on-7s. He's doing individual work, but it's very, very nice to see number 4 on a field, in a jersey, in a helmet, throwing the football.
Well, when I saw Charles come up with that question, how's Deshaun Watson looking? It was like, good.
Yeah.
Like, next question. I mean, I don't mean that in a mean way, but it's that I think is the way that we've got to think about this. I do think sometimes, and what's the right way of saying this? I think fans in Houston sort of feel like we're cursed in some way, shape, or form. Like, they're almost expecting the other shoe to drop that Deshaun's going to get hurt again. I think we just have to, and I know that's probably not what Charles is saying, but I know a lot of fans feel that way. Oh, you know, he'll just get hurt again, or he'll get hurt in game 4 or whatever. Let's just enjoy what we have
that's
of
right.
Deshaun. And we get that opportunity to see him in OTAs once a week. We'll get to see him in minicamp. But he has been throwing 7-on-7. There was a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport where he said, it looks like Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt will not be on PUP to start the year. Well, no duh, Sherlock, because
kind of what we've thought all along, based on what they've said, based on what we've seen now from what
guys
have done.
At least with Deshaun.
Sure.
He's practicing.
Yeah.
He's practicing. Now, JJ hasn't. So that was good news that hearing from that side. But the Deshaun stuff, were like, he's been practicing. So I don't know really what you're trying to think.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, a very good question from Terry. How many quarterbacks are on the roster right now? Well, you got Deshaun. You got Brandon Whedon.
That's two.
You've got Joe Webb the third.
That's three.
And you've got Stephen Morse. That's four quarterbacks right now on the roster. So, yeah.
It depends on how you classify Joe.
He's probably going to play a lot of special teams.
Yeah.
He's a very, very significant contributor over the last few years in coverage, both in punts and kickoffs. So, yeah, he's going to be a special teamer. That's where he's going to make his bones. You might see him catch a few passes on offense. Maybe run some wildcat, perhaps, but
yeah,
he is on the roster as a quarterback. specifically.
This started with Cordell Stewart. If you remember Cordell Stewart back in the 90s, they used to call him Slash because he was quarterback, slash, running back, slash, wide receiver, slash, returner. Yeah. That's what Joe's going to be. The first position will say quarterback.
Yeah.
But then slash will be anything else the team needs for me to do. Because I think that Joe's going to have an impact, I think, on this team.
He sure is.
It may end up being on special teams, but he's going to have an impact. So I technically there are four, but I say there are three quarterbacks and then Joe, who I think is a whole special different category.
Before we move on to the question, Joe has hands as big as like a racquetball paddle. His hands are enormous. They're Scott, massive. Do you think J.J. Watt will start week one? Yes, Scott, I do think that will happen. I don't know how much you're going to see him in the preseason games. Yeah. He did play a little bit last year in the preseason. You might not. Doesn't matter. I do think he's going to start week one.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he's on track. I think he's chomping at the bit. I think in training camp, you'll see very similar to last year where there'll be days where he is held out. I think it'll be that way for Clowney. I think it'll be that way for Hopkins. I don't know if it'll be that way for Deshaun because I think he's going to need the reps. Look, Deshaun played seven games last year. Seven. When he starts against the Patriots, that's only game eight. That's halfway through a season. That's all he's really played. So from that standpoint, I think Deshaun's going to need the reps. You just got to make sure that things around him aren't murky so he's not taking, you know, somebody rolling on the ground and running into him doing something, you know, stupid like that, which can happen at any practice. But I do think you're going to see pitch counts, i.e. practice time with players. It'll be, okay, this is a Clowney off day. This is a Watt off day. This is a Hopkins off day, et cetera.
I'm glad you bring up pitch counts and all that stuff because you know who helps determine that? The new strength and conditioning staff, the new sports performance staff. They all work in union with Jeff Kaplan and the medical training staff as well as the coaches. So Trey, or maybe Tra, but I'm going to think it's Trey, asks, what's different about the new weight training regimen? Well, Luke Richeson is the guy in charge. Normally he would have been called a strength and conditioning coach. He is that, but he's more than that. His title is Senior Director of Sports Performance. Right. So he's also taken in how these guys are sleeping, the nutrition that's going into their bodies, all that stuff. He's going to have a role in that.
Yep.
He's going to have a role. Excuse me. Kaplan has a role in that. But as far as how things are different there, they've got a whole new weight room as far as equipment-wise. They're training a little differently in the weight room. And it's been pretty cool to see. The guys are buying in. The players are buying in as far as what they've seen. Not that they didn't before, but they like this new staff as well.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph said the other day he actually had a salad for the first time in his life.
That's something
which
else,
which is crazy to think about. But then again, I think about it. I was allergic to salad for a long time.
And really?
I overcame that allergy a long time ago, so J.J. and I have that in common in some sense. But I think that there, it's hard to kind of quantify what has been different because it's nearly everything. What we eat on a daily basis is what the players are eating. We walk into the cafeteria for lunch and it's like, whoa, things are so
very different
from what we had before. And obviously Ladd's nutritionist is a big part of that. But
a lot more about Luke's,
I don't know exactly what they're doing with the weight training program, with that part of it, but they're emphasizing some different things than they have in the past. But when you talk to the players, the guys that are in it, the first thing you say, like, you don't even have to, you say, hey, whether you're on camera or off, you say, hey, how's the new program going for you? And eyes get big and they look at you like, oh my gosh, this is going to be good stuff. I mean, they to a man will tell you that on air, off air.
I'll tell you this. Luke Richeson, who has been around a long time, came to the Texans from the Broncos. Before that, he helped train Chester Pitts for the combine. So Chester was drafted 2002. Going into that combine, Luke was training. He's been around the block. Chester raves about Luke Richeson, and everything Chester has said has been in union with what we've heard, like you just mentioned, from the players. Okay, Joshua asks, do you see the Texans re-signing Tyrann Mathieu long-term? Great question. I think if, based on what we've seen out of Tyrann before OTAs, during OTAs, if that holds up and he plays the way we think he's capable of playing and is able to avoid injury, I would think the Texans would very much want to have him back. Now, let's see some games played first, but short answer, yes, I do think they will.
I think so, too. This is one of those opportunities, and we talk about this a lot. I've talked about this a lot. You have a rookie quarterback. Now, he's a first-round quarterback, so his salary is significant, but not what top-notch quarterbacks, not what he will make down the road.
Yes.
This is when you really have to make some hay.
You're saving at this point.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so you've got to be able to spend wisely, and to your point, I think you're dead on. I think everything that this organization wanted to see with Tyrann, they're seeing in him, at least through now. If he backs it up with play, I think just like Alshon Jeffery with the Eagles, because Alshon took a one year, $13 or $14 million deal with the Eagles last year. And by November, late November, early December, they're like, we're signing long term. Because he loved being there. They loved him. Great marriage. And they're going to make it last for the next 4 or 5 years or whatever it is in Philadelphia. So from that standpoint, the same thing I think can happen with Tyron. I haven't even really, to be honest, until I saw that question, I haven't really thought about him being a 1 year guy. I wouldn't want to see him be here for 1 year. And I think that was the Texans thought was, look, we get him one year here. We check it out. He checks it out. At the end of the year, we get to where we'd like. And here's the thing. The scary part is, though, because it is a one-year deal, if you don't get that extension and he does play well, there are going to be a lot of suitors. There's no question about that.
But you want that. You want there to be suitors, because that would have meant he's played really well. He's made plays for you. Okay, we got time for two more.
Okay.
This is an interesting one. Ambus, kind of like ambush, but without the H.
Ambus.
Has Wes Welker been working with Kiki QT? Now, they both went to Texas Tech. They both played similar positions at Texas Tech. Wes is kind of working more this year with tight ends.
Yep.
Always has a role on special teams as well. I'm sure, though, because of their shared connection, because of their background together, he does impart some tips, some wisdom on Kiki QT. QT has looked very, very impressive in the early parts of OTAs. I like what I've seen from him. He's got great hands. I did not hear that as much in the run-up to the draft. You always heard about his explosiveness, how he's a playmaker, and those things have been evident. He's got really good hands. Saw him snare one just at point-blank range, almost 7 yards, a couple weeks ago from Brandon Whedon. It looked like DeAndre Hopkins out there with a one-hander.
You need to read my draft stuff, bro.
I love your draft stuff. You know what I mean. I'm saying...
I know.
You said that.
No, but he was not.
The general perception.
There are two things that make him different from a lot of other slot receivers. Number one, his hands. His hands are unbelievable. Less slot receivers are going to body catch the ball. Because they don't trust it. They're playing the slot because they're quick, they're small, they're shorter, whatever the case might be.
And he's not small. He's not big, but he's not small.
No,
he's
well
five,
put together.
Seven. Yeah.
The other thing is the opportunity to go deep out of this slot. That's going to be something that over time I think is going to end up being part of his game, because that was a huge part of his game at Texas Tech. Which leads to, I think, that last question, Drew. Let's take that one.
The last one? You don't want to do that one?
Okay. Well, let's do the last one because it kind of ties into that
one. Sure enough. Albert asks, will Braxton Miller be the starter in the slot week one? You know, Braxton Miller has also had a pretty darn good OTA.
Has.
I don't know the answer to that question as far as because of what Kiki QT has done. And you also got to remember Bruce Ellington.
Yeah.
Bruce Ellington is no slouch himself. He's had a good OTA. So the level of competition here on offense has really been raised.
There's no question. Braxton, I think, has had a really good offseason. He looks fresh. And we were talking about it yesterday.
Looks quicker.
You said that. You were like, he looks quicker. He looks faster. And I think that's a combination of two things. Number one, being healthy. Number two, he knows where to go. He knows what he's doing now as opposed to a couple of years ago. Not saying he didn't, but I think when you know it that much more that you can read things on the run. And that's one of the difficult things about playing the slot is you may not know what route you're going to run until three steps in.
Yeah,
and then you're having to do it on the fly at 150%, 100%, sorry, I hate that term, 150%, or 110%, because you can only give 100%, because that's all you got to give. Anyways, you're burning three steps, and you got to make a decision. Oh, I got to go right. I got to go left. I got to run shallow. I got to go up the field. I got to take this one to the outside. You got to do all that on the fly. And Welker did that better than anybody. He could anticipate what he was going to see, and then when he saw it, he could make the proper adjustment. And then if something was different from what his pre-snap read was, he could adjust on the fly too. He had that kind of synergy with both Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So that's where QT and Ellington and Miller have got to get to with Deshaun. They've got to be on that same page. And when they see certain things, they're thinking the same thing. So they can hit those routes and those guys can all make that on the fly. Point being, slot receiver position is going to be a whole lot better than it's been in past years. Woo!
Hurry up, football season. I'm ready for you to start. John? Excellent work as always.
Yeah, man, you too.
Thanks you to all of you for watching this. We really appreciate it. It's been an Arctic Cooler Talk. Thank you also to Jamie Devitt, Tyler Marcotte, Eric Sanon Asensio, Litsa Darby, and our dear friend, the cockroach, Brian Peden, for helping make all this happen. We will see you next time on the Arctic Cooler Talk.